Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
He's introduced you to great coffee.
Congratulations! World's best cup of coffee.
Great music.
You win in a wrestling match. Lemmy or God?
Lemmy.
God. Wrong dick. Trick question. Lemmy is God.
Great travel.
That's the dream. It's not the destination. It's the journey.
All things to enrich your life.
If you're good at what you do, people will recognize that.
Now, he's ready to tackle itself.
Whoop-de-doo. What does it all mean?
With some great guests with even better life stories.
Yes, even better than how he almost failed grades 2, 4, and 7.
Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while. You could miss it.
You're listening to the Brenton on Tour Lifecast. Here's BD.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for hanging out. I know it's been a few weeks. It is the end of the Lifecast series for the Brenton on Tour podcast that I created well over 50 episodes ago, you know, having some fun. I mean, it kind of crept up fast. This was supposed to end, you know, last year, this whole series, but obviously our timing and not traveling around the world has changed things a little bit. So I'm not Brenton on Tour right now. I'm Brenton at home, which kind of loses some cachet when you think about it, when it comes to podcasting and all the rest of it, and touring around the world trying to find amazing coffee and amazing people. So yeah, we got there. We wrapped up the module today with the Agrawal sisters, Mickey and Radha, two inspirational women that are changing lives all around the world with all of their products. The list is endless, so you're just gonna have to listen to the interview. I'll give you the brief once over. Thinks period underwear for women, Hello Tushy, the portable bidet that's blowing up all over the world, the Daybreaker early morning rave series that's gone all over the world and gone viral, that basically gets people motivated and rolling in the morning, alcohol-free, but just into a great mindset, and gets your day started. So much so that Oprah took Radha and Daybreaker on tour with her to fire up her fans. So that's all you really need to know about that. Best-selling authors. Mickey wrote Do Cool Shit, which is how I met her, not kind of settling and just kind of going for, following your dreams and going for it. They certainly have done that. And I reached out to her after reading the book and I said, hey, you know, I loved it. It was great. She said, if you're ever in New York City, let me know. So not too long after that, I was at Madison Square Garden and doing one of my sort of bucket list venues, one of a biggest day of my career, one of my biggest days of my career, that day. And they came down to say hello and offer up support and, be cheerleaders, which was great. And Mickey brought her sister Radha, which I had just met for the first time, who had just completed her book Belong, which is about community and, kind of cutting the fat, you know, making you analyze what's important to you for people in your life, the people you're spending time with, but building a community that can support you and you support them. And it's an incredible read. It looks amazing. Yeah. And then Mickey goes on to write Disruptor. And then Brad has got a brand new book coming out around Daybreaker as well. So, I mean, they must be two of the busiest people on the planet, and they made time to come on and tell their tale. And I'm really, really stoked for you guys to listen to that interview, brought to you, of course, by my friends at Partake Non-Alcoholic Beer. Those guys have been along for this whole life series. They've sent my guests a bunch of their product. You've heard me raving about it. And I'm not going to say much else about it other than, you know, it's as close as I've ever tasted to a non-alcoholic beer. It's great. It's craft beer. It's gluten-free. Man, it's great for vegans. It's 10 calories. It's amazing. So I'm a real big fan of it, and I definitely encourage you guys, especially over the holidays, to get out and try it. And be safe. Don't drink and drive. It's a great alternative to that. We're going to give away a prize pack from them. All you got to do is like and share this episode and all the episodes that you've enjoyed so far with the Life Series on anywhere, any platform that you have, anywhere you want to share it. We'll be keeping an eye out and we'll send you off something from them. My friends at Blue Microphones, they have sent me the Blue Yeti X, and these are rad, rad Mixfi headphones. So I got to thank them for now powering the Brenton on Tour podcast. So where do we go from here? Who knows? The modules have wrapped up. We obviously covered coffee, music, travel, and life. Lots of feedback. I mean, everyone has their kind of favorite section. So do I keep circling back around? I'm not too sure. I'm not on tour right now. So, you know, we'll see where it goes. Definitely going to take a break for a couple of weeks again as we reanalyze. I've started a brand new podcast with my friend Chris Machete, also on the Dean Blundell Network, called Kids on the Escalator podcast, where we dive into pop culture. You know, we've been currently reviewing all the episodes of The Mandalorian, which has been a blast. And joined by our friend Mike Pongratz, who coincidentally is also my producer in the early days, and then has done all my intros and since then, including the new show. So yeah, a lot of fun. Come join us there. We're going to be doing that for quite a while. And then as I gear up to the next phase of what I'm going to do with the Brenton on Tour podcast. So lots of fun ahead. I thank you all for listening thus far. And when it's all said and done, I think it's 55 or 60 plus episodes, which, you know, that's a solid year plus worth of content. So revisit and reshare. Do all the things. All right, it's time. I am going to wrap up the Life cast with Mickey and Radha Agrawal, to super inspiring women changing lives on a daily basis. Check out the interview, check out their products, and thanks for listening. Here we go. All right, here we are, friends. We are back on the Brenton on Tour Life cast. We're wrapping up the series with two of my favorite people. Do I discovered by accident, but then are just so gracious with their time and amazing. I got Mickey and Radha Agrawal. How are you both today?
Great. It's like a year end. It's like a year end push, you know.
My theme of having amazing women on my show in December continues, because this time last year I was backstage at the O2 with Claire Pooley, best-selling author of the book The Sober Diaries, and now I have two best-selling authors in December, two inspirational women. I'm very happy about this interview. So thank you so much for making the time, because you both wrote some amazing books that I love. So
yay,
welcome. Awesome. Welcome to the Life cast. We discovered each other. I discovered Mickey through Do Cool Shit First, reached out and just told her how much I loved the book, and you were gracious and sent me back a note saying, hey, thanks for reading, and if you're ever in New York. Turns out I was in New York at Madison Square Garden, and you brought along your sister, and who I met for the first time, Radha, who brought along her brand new book at the time along, which was awesome. So it was really great, and two really great inspirational stories. The purpose of this podcast is to tell a bit of a life tale. Now, Mickey, I mean, and Radha, both Montreal kids moving to New York, both in finance and both get out of it. So it's kind of an interesting thing, and Do Cool Shit sort of a byproduct of that, of like, you know, hey, I'm over this, and I'm, you know, don't waste your time. And that's the kind of premise we took away from it. And so, did you both move together? Mickey, did you go first? How did that first move kind of start?
For the team? Well, we both went to Cornell together, and then we both moved to New York together. We both got jobs investment banking together. I mean, separate companies, but same group, real estate investment banking. We both lived together. We hung out every day. I mean, like, it was like everything we did was together. And then she left banking after 4 months after 9/11. And then I left after a year and a half, to 2 years. And then we both never looked back.
At the 4 month point there, Radha, was it sort of like, I'm over this.
Yeah, 9/11 happened. Like, literally it was my first job out of college, and then 9/11 happened. It was like this sort of moment in life that you're just kind of like, holy, it just rocked you to your core, you know, around like, how can people be so evil? And then you ask yourself, like, well, am I in a job that if I was to die tomorrow, I would want to continue to be in? And right. The answer was really no. go. Like, finance is probably the furthest thing I would ever want to kind of like sink my teeth into, though I'm super grateful. Like, Mickey and I both would agree that, like, it gave us, you know, real skills with which to be able to build our businesses and not be afraid of looking at, you know, P&Ls and, like, you know, understand numbers and look at spreadsheets. And I think that those formative years of just doing the end of the training program and going through that, I think set us on a really good path for entrepreneurship.
Who had the first idea to, I mean, you left first, but were you discussing through this whole time going, I'm out of here and I have this idea, or Mickey?
Well, we were both.
Like, yeah.
We were both. Sir, good.
It was fine. I think Mickey left on her own volition. I was actually let go because we covered gaming, lodging, and airlines, our industry, and like all that went to crap after 9/11. So I didn't have a choice. And I was like, not looking back.
And I was just the worst investment banker ever. So if I wasn't going to leave, I basically would have gotten fired probably by myself, though, not the whole group. I would have been the only person fired from my group.
Right.
Because I sucked so bad. But it was like what I learned from that experience was so interesting because I mean, both Rodder and I learned that. It's like people would like out hardcore each other. It's like I slept under my desk for 3 days straight and I brought my toothbrush just to work. And I, you know, it's like how much, like I pulled 3 all nighters this week and we're like, is that a good thing? Because that feels like the worst. And so like Rod and I, like I, for me, like I befriended one of the managing directors at Deutsche Bank and he would leave at 6 p.m. Oh yeah. He would leave at 6 p.m. Thank you. He would leave at 6 p.m. And then I would leave with him. And all the investment banking analysts would be so angry. Like they would just be like, what are you doing leaving? I'm like, well, he's leaving. He's like, well, he's the managing director. I'm like, yeah. I mean, like, anyways, that's why I was like imminently going to get fired.
It's almost like it was a good, and obviously we see the movies and we see the thing about how competitive it is, who can work longer, who can make the most money. Everyone seems to have an empty life, really. Do you know any happy people in that profession?
I'm going to say one thing that was such an interesting juxtaposition. And then I'm sure Rada has a bunch of stories. The interesting juxtaposition that I saw was that I remember working in Deutsche Bank and like going in the elevators and everyone being like the saddest, angriest, most like just like, ugh, angry people. Then I went back to the investment banks to work on a movie with what's that famous black director from Brooklyn?
Oh,
the main guy, the older, like glasses, like
Livingston.
Huh?
John, which?
No. The main
Spike Lee.
Spike Lee. Yeah, it was Spike Lee. It was a Spike Lee joint. And I was like, I was working the Spike Lee joint. And we were shooting like a few scenes like at an investment bank. So we basically like rented a whole floor at an investment bank. And I remember so vividly, like going in the front of the elevator banks and riding up with the actual investment bankers. They were so angry, sad, upset. And then I would go in the back and go up the elevator with like all the blue collar, like all of the film people, all of like the workers, the gaffers, like all the people, and everyone would be laughing, joking, telling stories, like having the time of their life. And it was like, wow, like,
wow.
This is who I don't want to be, and this is who I want to be. Like, I want to be having fun, lit up, alive. Like, energetically, I saw that so crystal clear.
Wow, that's really cool, Mickey. I never knew that story. That's awesome.
Oh yeah, I'll never forget that.
Why do you think people? Why do you think people waste their time being miserable?
Because of money, status. Go ahead, Rob. Sorry.
No. I mean, go ahead, Mickey. Okay. I think it's like money and status and to cover up pain and suffering or like to get out of poverty from, you know, generations. Like I think a lot of people, look at finance as a way to take care of the whole family. And like that, I mean, I don't know. I feel like I get it. Like we went into it because we wanted to move to New York City. Like we got us to New York. We got a signing bonus. We got to be able to go to a nice apartment in New York. And it started off our dreams. Like I really am so grateful to the investment banks that hired us to be able to like get us from our colleges to the Big Apple, you know?
I mean, Rod and I also have just some crazy stories. Like the first apartment we ever lived at in New York City, we met this guy coming back from an air, like Ryder and I went on a trip like around the Europe. And I think on a trip back, we were like riding the buses, like from the airport to like the taxis, you know, like, and we met some random man there and we were like, we're looking for a place to live. And he was like, you can live with me. And we were like, okay. And so it was like this gross, like just skeezy guy, but we were together.
And also very generous too, to like let us live there. But like, yeah, totally skeezy.
Oh, so gross. You'd walk around naked.
That's how all bad stories start in New York City.
I know.
But he guarantored our first apartment. Like, and my parents said, absolutely no, they're not going to guarantee our first apartment.
Yeah.
So maybe they're like, well, how are you going to do like 40 times your salary or whatever to get an apartment? We asked this like random guy that we met on like at the JFK airport to like guarantor, be the guarantor for our first apartment. And he generously said yes. So like
he did?
Yeah, Mickey, don't you remember? He's on his sign that he was a guarantor for our very first apartment in New York City. We owe him so much. Like he was
Cliff's apartment.
Yes. Do you still see him around? Do you have a relationship? No.
Honestly, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. So you guys were chucking away. What came first? What was the first? I know Wild was a big venture for you, Mickey. What came first, idea wise, as far as and what hit first?
Well, Slice was the first business. Did it hit? That's the question. But it certainly taught me, and Radha, I mean, like I'll just speak for myself. It taught me a lot about, just work ethic. I mean, like investment banking was one thing where you work cause you had to. And then at the end I was like, I don't give a shit. But like at the restaurants, it's like, this was like my business. I had to see it succeed. Mm-hmm. I was there 7 days a week, 9 a.m. to like midnight, 2 a.m. like every single night. If the delivery guy didn't show up, I'd do deliveries. If the dishwasher didn't show up, I'd wash dishes. If the pizza man didn't show up, I'd like make pizzas. Like I never worked in a restaurant my day in my life. So it was so much accelerated learning, like just by being thrown literally in the fire, like, you know, for like pun intended, and experienced like theft and experienced managers taking advantage of me, experienced like New York City shaking me down, experience like hangry customers, like saying I'm not paying, you know, it's like, I'm like, hi, I'd like to take your order. And like, can I have a tikka masala pizza and a chana masala pizza? And I'm like, absolutely. And I'm like, okay, so it's one tikka masala, one chana masala, right? And he was like, no, I said two tikka masala. I can't believe you. You're a liar. I'm not paying. And it was like, it was like stuff like that all the time. It was like the craziest shit.
Was that your first new, like you hear about New York and obviously you went through investment, you got all this stuff, like both of you come in and it's the big city and you got a guy walking around guaranteeing your apartment naked, as you said. But I mean, was this your first New York? Like, oh, okay. There's New York. I see it now.
No. This is stories that we're just throwing out. My very, very first time in New York City. And I'll shut up because I really want my sister to share stories. But it's just funny. All stuff's coming up. Like the very first time I came to New York, I was a junior in college. And I came with my boyfriend, Zach, who's actually running for mayor of New York City right now. And we were walking like down a dark alley. I don't even know why we ended up in a dark alley. But there were like these like people playing like those three card games, like where you like pick the card, like, and I was like, Zach, let's go play. Like we're in New York. We lost like $80 in like literally 2 minutes. Yeah. And I was like, okay, we're out of here. And it was like, they're all in cahoots and they like stole our money. And then we just like walked away. And I was like, wow, this is New York City.
Opens up, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I know. But like, it also is a dream maker, you know, like I feel like we found our loves, we launched our businesses, we built success, you know, like on the heels of all of that insanity. Like I think that you get into a groove and either you stick it out and you see it through. And I think that's also a lesson of COVID right now, of like people, the mass exodus of like, you know, kind of New York City's elite leaving New York in its time of need. Like, on one hand, you understand that if you have the means to be able to like go somewhere and like take care of your family, like that's super important. And also to abandon the city that gave you your wealth, that gave you your start, that gave you your, you know, your whole entire life. You know, I have such an extraordinary loyalty to this city, and I'm never leaving. And Mickey and I both bought houses here eventually. I have a house in Greenpoint, Brooklyn. Mickey has a house in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. And, you know, and I doubled down during COVID. I just was like, this is somewhere I really want to see through. And it really feels like right now New York is having a resurgence. It's like a renaissance, like what I call like a punk summer, where there's like no tourists. It's just artists and just creatives. It's just us. Museums are like, I went to the museum recently, the Met, and I was like crying as I was like dancing my way through like some of the most incredible world famous art, mm-hmm. you know, almost alone, you know, in the museum, like crying tears of joy of just like, wow, New York, like even when we're knocked down, like you still can deliver so much beauty and so much creativity and so much inspiration. And I'm here to stay, so.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
I love that city a lot. I haven't been there very much, but anytime I've been there has been something. I had one of my most, the most iconic moments of my career there, hitting Madison Square Garden, and you guys were there for that, which I never forget. That was a great moment for me personally, just career-wise. And then to have you guys make the time to come down was awesome.
Oh my God. I mean, one thing I will say about New York is that people say it's like one of the most expensive cities in the world. And it's like, Radha and I, like, I love finding specials, you know, like, when Radha and I were in Brooklyn and we were still like paying off student loans and just still like starting to save money and all of that. Like, you know, on Tuesday nights, we would have a date night, just me and her, and we would have dinner at Joya, and it was like $7 for a gigantic chicken pad Thai plus tip.
They're still around, by the way. They're still amazing.
It's amazing. Joya is the best. And so like $7 plus we would give like a $3 tip. Cause I was like, we're like, whoa, big tip, you know? Yeah. And then, so it'd be like a $10 dinner, like Ron, I would have like glasses of water and like a big chicken pad Thai that we would split. So it was like $5 each for dinner. And we sat there for like 2 hours, like telling stories and like having a great time. And it was like a really nice candlelit restaurant, you know? And then we would go to this place called Cobble Hill Cinemas. They would play like blockbuster brand new films. And they were like $5 Tuesday nights. And so like we would have dinner and movie like all night, every Tuesday night for $10 each. And so it's like it's such a place that you can build, create, but it doesn't have to be so daunting where you're like, oh, you need a ton of money to move to New York. Like you don't, if you really do it like the local way.
I it's got a charm. I wanted to dive in down the road there for Christmas in New York, cause it's something I've always thought about being at, but Radha, I know you don't have a lot of time, so I want to just get to a couple of things here for a minute. So as far as the what's been formed, so Tushy thinks we've got a whole bunch of different ventures together. Daybreaker. Yeah, it's just going and going. Are you? I mean, do you guys just sit in a room together and go and ever? Like I know the story is always, you know, the failures lead to the successes, but you guys are on a pretty good run here. So is this like you guys just that creative? I don't like using the word luck because there's a lot of man and woman hours that go into people's definition of luck. So you're just on a great run. So you're on this great run. You guys have this amazing, everything that you guys have created has changed lives in some capacity. Do you sit in a room and just go, oh yeah, that's going to be great. And we're going to go do that too.
Actually, I mean, I love this question because, you know, when people ask me like, what is the key to, like, I always say like having a cheerleader in like my sister and having like, we call each other like 10 times a day and I'll be like, I have this idea. And then she'll make it stronger. I'm like, oh, what about this? And what about that? Oh, I have Teddy will introduce you to for that. And it's like, and there's like a centrifuge, like upward boom spiral, you know? And so, you know, I just think that when you have a person that like, that is constantly cheerleading you forward, like I always tell my partner, Eli, I'm like, I wish I could dream, like really dream with you, you know? And like, of course we can and we do, but like, there's nobody in the world I could dream with more than I can with my sister, you know? And then we're just like, oh, and what about this? And then what about that? And then what about, and let's make this better. And let's make, you know, and it's like dreaming and like creating, coming up with ideas and like visioning and like, yes, okay, executing together when there's two matriarchs in a room can sometimes be the difficult part of being soulmates and like dream partners. When it comes down to like, who's the boss lady? It's like both of us kind of want to wear those shoes sometimes. Mm-hmm. I think in those moments, like the older we get, the more we're like, you take it. No, you take it. You know, and it's like, and that like that sort of like fun actually versus like the ego wanting to like to be the, you know. So I think like early on, you know, in my career, in my life, in my work, in our collective careers, it was like, yeah, just having a thought partner, a dream partner. And I think if every single person watching or listening could find themselves a partner that's not just being like, I don't like that idea, or like has the face, you know, versus like, oh my God, like, yeah, you know, like fully, like full body listening and leaning in and cheerleading and coming up with more ideas and make it better, like really making it fun and exciting.
There's such unique ideas though, and they're great. Like, it's like, you know, I'm always amazed when something, it's like, what? Yeah, what?
But you know, it's like when you say it's like you're on a run, it's like, I think about it, I'm like, whew, like, what a crazy run. Because it's such a roller coaster. I mean, like we went through, I mean, Radha had a hostile takeover of her company. I had like crazy theft from my first business. But then, you know, luckily I found the most amazing partner for what my restaurant. We rebranded to Wild and we have an amazing partner there. But you know, with our last company, Thinks, like also had this crazy, crazy takedown experience. And yes, I think because having each other, we have each other, I think that's been like the foundation of what we've been able to get us through the ups, the downs, the twists, the turns. And it's like, all right, cool. Like great. Next, like, you know, and we're going to build it better and bigger. And like, you know, like, and it's like, to have somebody lick your wounds with you and dream, I think is like, you can't, I think that's the magic that
like, who says no, who's the one that basically wrangles the both of you in? Is it either one of you or is it your husbands?
Probably our husbands. Yeah. Husbands.
But yeah. Like not. Yeah, no, I mean, I'm always like, ooh, like, and then, you know, it's like, you know, and then what, you know? So I think that's our superpower. Like, you know, people always ask us, like, what's the secret to your success? And I think it's like unbridled enthusiasm, and like, and having
accountability. Like,
an accountability buddy with whom you can talk about any idea. And yeah, of course, like, obviously, like, Radha, this is so dumb. Or like, she'll be like, you know, okay, look, huge missed opportunity. Like, if you did this and you did that, then you could really triple your revenue, whatever. And I'll be like, oh, shoot, I never even thought of that. Like, dumb, you know? And then
you know, for your events, like, you should do this. Like, cause you're like, you know, it's like, let me plan your, you know, like all of your experiential, because like, you know, like I get digital, but like you get digital, but like I get experiential. And so she like, we just sort of like play off. It's just fun. It just,
starting to see, I was saying to Mickey before we started here, like, you know, Tushy, when I first heard about it, and then it kind of, you know, when you investigate it, obviously you realize it went where it went. But then I'm starting to see it in Canada like crazy. I'm in Vancouver, so I'm starting to see it up here like crazy. So it's spreading. But same with Daybreaker. I started seeing a whole bunch of Daybreaker ads in Vancouver, probably towards the end of summer last year. Obviously, things hit this year and kind of shut a bunch of things down. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of spread out. And every time I see one of your products kind of show up here, I'm like, I'm always fascinated by marketing and brands. I'm always fascinated by walking down the street in Austria and going, man, how did they get that brand over here? It's just it's a fascinating thing. And so being able to see the work that you guys have done has been amazing. So it's and books, we haven't even gotten into the books, but Radha, I know you got a jet. So I just want to just say one thing before you got to go. Belong, is there another book on the way? Have you started another book?
Yes. Well, maybe talk about Belong.
Yeah, that's what I want. Like, Belong is such a great, it's such a great read about community in France. I loved it. Can you dive into that just for a couple minutes before you have to jump? Yeah, I mean,
so, you know, I think right now, one in two Americans are isolated or alone and have no friends to confide in. And people, you know, you'll read books that kind of theoretically will tell you the importance of belonging and making friends, but like, there's no real guidebook that gives you a step-by-step of like, how do you make, it's like, what Dougal Shit was so awesome because it's like, how do you go from zero to one on building a business? And along, it's like, what is it that you have to do to radiate from inside out to really find your soul family, your tribe? And so the book really gives you, like, there's like 25 exercises in the book that where you, the first half of the book, you go in and really kind of uncover and excavate who you are so that, you could really, I think so often in friendships, you like stumble into friend groups or fall into these communities without really asking yourself, do I feel good in it? Or like, does it really connect with me? Like, Mickey just moved to Austin and she's like making all these friends and it's like, and she's asking, it's like, do I really resonate with this community or does it, and it's interesting to be stumbling into things versus like actually sitting down, stopping and being like, does it feel good here? Do I feel like totally?
What's my intention with building your community?
Exactly. And so really taking that time to like, kind of like go into our core values, our interests, our abilities, like where we are in the world, like all of that, those exercises are so important to do at every stage in your life, through every move, through every partnership, through every child, through every divorce, retirement. So it's a really important piece. But then I think like belonging is so tied to joy as well. So for me, like my two ultimate whys these days are like how to help. I think like belonging is the root chakra. It's like at the very bottom. It's like your base. Like if you don't belong, there's nothing. You don't like, I think Mickey and I are successful because we feel such belonging with each other and through our community, but it's like, if you don't belong, like you can't go up the chakras and go to like, I am you or I am creative or I am disciplined. Like you can't be any of those things if you're not, if you don't belong. But then joy, which is all at the top, like at your crown, your unity center, which is what we call it. It's like if you can actually come from the top down and the bottom up and you're like practicing joy from the top down and practicing belonging from the bottom up, like that's actually where all the kind of the juice is. And so my newest project is called Dose by Daybreaker, which is a new joy practice. And basically, we want to make practicing joy as ubiquitous as practicing yoga or practicing, meditation. Like, how do you actually practice joy and like really create a whole new, defined category? And so it's super exciting to launch it.
I'm a huge proponent of happiness and being happy at everything you do. And I know it's not always easy. I mean, right. people have rules and within themselves that they have to break when they do a friend audit. Or they do something like that, it's extremely uncomfortable.
That's right. So we built a platform where you can actually like go in and then we have like dozens of teachers teaching you different joy practices, like breath work, to tapping, to dance, to like connection practices, to accountability, to affirmations, to journaling, to nature walks, like all the things that bring us joy are the things that I'm really deeply connected to now, because when you actually practice joy, that's when you really call in, belong. Like all of that goes hand in hand. You belong and you find joy. You practice joy, then you find belonging. And I think if I really like crack those two ecosystems, that's really where we can really shift.
I love the layout of the book. It's just designed. It looks great. It's got a great, it's a beautiful design. It really helps you kind of you designed these charts and all written, right? You designed, it's, I don't know, I'm fascinated by it.
It's also my son's favorite book, who's three.
I recommend everyone get, I gave it a whole bunch of them out to some friends that Christmas, whatever it was awesome. So great, great, great. Joy, happiness, belong, it's all, I mean, people don't practice it enough.
She's doing some bullshit. So
you get it. I love it.
Can I run? Is that okay?
What happened? You just cut out?
You know, I was going to say, I got to run.
You got a jet. Yeah. Thanks, Radha. Everyone check out RadhaAgrawal.com. Check out your book Belong and the next one that's on the way. I can't wait for that. Thank you for making the time. Thanks. Have a great Christmas. Okay. All right.
Yeah, I'll call you later. Okay. Bye.
Awesome. Hi.
Yeah.
Was two.
Super creative. Both of you. I'm amazed at the creativity, but you both touch on a bunch of different things that are needs that people don't think they need. I think.
Yeah. I mean, I think people underestimate how important it is to nurture deep friendships and connections and how much, like, by showing up for others, it actually helps you fulfill your dreams better. Like, it's this kind of weird thing where people are like, I don't have time to show up for people because I'm working on my dream. But actually, if you show up for others, you fulfill your dreams faster because you are fulfilled by community. You have someone else to like do this, you know, to like clap with you. And like, it creates a level of, you know, community that it's like a communal experience versus just like you and your island doing your own thing and like not having time for anyone else. And then it just becomes lonely and more miserable and sad versus like, you know what, I'm going to spend Friday and Saturday night spending time with my friends and really going, getting deep and showing up for their events or showing up for their things. And like, really showing up for what they need. And then it always comes back like 10 times by showing up for others. And it's like, you know, it sounds corny, but it's true. And I feel like, you know, for me, like I love showing up for my friends. It's not because I want someone to like show up for me when I need it, but I love showing up for them because I just love getting inspired by my friends. And then, you know, when I went through like crazy shit in my career, all my friends showed up for me and they came up to my house every single day. And they like made me feel so held and so supported, and so loved, which helped me get through the traumatic times, you know, much, much faster than if I would have to do it alone, you know? So,
Okay, like, when you guys did you do this along with Radha? Like when she was writing this and you read it, you're like, I need to do some of this. Like I need to do something like some of this that you're talking about. I didn't realize I wasn't doing this. And if you remove friends or you remove people and kind of readjust things, did you learn something from that book and apply some of that to yourself? You know, your best friends, your sisters, you're doing everything together, but
yeah, I mean, we're already doing that. I mean, like, that's the thing, like all the things that's in the book, like we're already doing. And so that's why it's easy to write about what you know, because you're like, wow, this worked for us. We're super fulfilled, you know, like not because we've built huge companies, because that's, you know, that feels great for the world. We're employing people, we're changing lives, you know, we're helping, you know, the nature, like we've helped save 2 million trees from getting flushed down the toilet with Tushy.
Amazing.
We've helped build, you know, toilets for over 60,000 families in India. You know, we've been able to help over 250,000 girls get access to menstrual products, go back to school. You know, like my sister with Daybreaker has helped, you know, 500,000 people, you know, wake up and dance and find joy and like, you know, like, you know, get out of depression and all this stuff. So, you know, we're very, very proud of, you know, the other, you know, aspects of building companies, you know, like we're super proud. I mean, if you were to ask us, you know, when we were first moving to New York, like if you had built, you know, several $100 million businesses, people would be like, what are you? Yeah, we would just be like laughing. We'd be like, oh, that's, you know, like a pipe dream. And, you know, to have been able to do that and be able to cheerlead each other through that process has been like the most rewarding. You know,
you were going to be a sports star, right? You were there for soccer, right?
Yeah. I was going to be a soccer player. And then, and then I tore my ACL three times, you know, three.
That was that.
Oof. Yeah. There's two there and there's one there. Yeah. So
I wanted to ask you about the restaurant and then I know you got a jet too. So I was in Do Cool Shit. You talk about, you know, going down this venture. Can you clarify for me, was there absolutely not a gluten-free option for pizza in New York City?
There was not.
And this wasn't long ago.
2005. I mean, 2005 was in the grant in this in the world of organic farm table, local, seasonal, gluten free, grain free. Like none of those were terms in 2004, 2005. Like people were still like, oh, like the nature stores, like you would go get like, you know, Birkenstock, sure, eating like cardboard, and like no one would really give. It would just be like, you know, those crunchy granola types. You know, it wasn't like an actual world where we're like, okay, like let's, you know, explore whole food plant-based diet. Let's explore a gluten-free pizza made with local, you know, cheese from local farm. You know, let's explore vegetables from local farms. Let's explore, you know, non-dairy options. Like that was all very, very new. I mean, I spent 2.5 years standing outside my restaurant just handing out little pieces of pizza for people to try them. Crazy. You know, like, excuse me, can you come try this? I'm telling you, it's, I know we say healthy pizza, but it's like delicious. Just try one piece. Like,
yeah.
And, you know, and it would just be like that for, you know, 2.5 years of just getting people to understand that it's delicious. Like healthy can be delicious too.
And you just opened a new location, at least recently.
We opened our first location on the Upper East Side, Slice, and then we rebranded to, well, then we opened our second location in the West Village, rebranded to Wild. And then we opened a location in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, and then Park Slope. And then we had one for a while in downtown Las Vegas. And then we have two in Guatemala. So we've been sort of like opened a bunch in different spots and, you know, just based on different times. Like we have one in Guatemala still, the other one closed during COVID actually.
Sure.
And the other ones, and the Park Slope one is doing fine, and the West Village one is our bread and butter location.
Has the current state of the world with COVID affected your businesses, or have they actually exceeded expectation?
Well, so it's interesting because I get to sit on both sides. Like with the restaurants, our numbers went down by 80%, and it's a really scary time. We luckily got the PPP loan. Everyone got to keep their jobs, and we, you know, my team was amazing. My partner Waleed is just incredible. Built a whole outdoor cafe with his bare hands, with the team, and got to, like, you know, all the seating that we had inside, we got to make it up outside, and so it salvaged our business. You know, after, I mean, the first 3 months we were like scary down, and then it all came back after that. After we built the outdoor cafe part, they built it, and then Tushy. So it's like on one side, it was really, really scary. The restaurants, our restaurant in Guatemala closed. It was just like, ugh. And then on the other side, Tushy, I mean, you know, the toilet paper shortage, the great toilet paper shortage of 2020, when that happened, like everybody turned to Tushy bidet, you know, because they're like, wash your butt with Tushy bidet. It takes 10 minutes to install. It's $79. You buy it one time. Within 3 months, you're paid back on how much toilet paper you'd buy, and you're saving trees, and you're cleaning your butt properly. It's not the disgusting dry paper, you know, that you're just like smearing poop around. You know, you're actually properly cleaning it like you would jumping in a shower, you know?
Sure.
So Tushy, you know, Tushy skyrocketed. We had our first $1 million day. We've had a couple of those. We've had a few of those since. And we've been on a crazy rocket ship with this business. So it's been interesting to be on both sides for sure. I'm very grateful. Yeah.
Yeah. Good for you. And a great product for people, you know, to try and clean your ass properly.
Go to hellotushy.com, not tushy.com, because it's a very graphic anal porn site.
Gotcha.
go to hellotushy.com. Hello. Also, if you want to check out my sister's happiness practice or joy practice, I would go to, you can actually fill out a joy, like a happiness blueprint. And so she worked with the Greater Good Science Center and created a happiness blueprint. Wow. where you just spend a few minutes like really understanding like where your levels of happiness are, like, you know, how much dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, endorphins are actually firing from your brain. And when they're not firing properly from your brain, you actually, your levels aren't as like you're operating from like a, like not your optimized state. And so it's free. The happiness blueprint is free. If you just go to dose.daybreaker.com, you can literally fill out the happiness blueprint for free. And then it'll spit out your like prescription of Amazing. What kind of activities you need to do to make sure that all of your happy brain chemicals are firing properly. So in this
I can't
time,
wait. I'm absolutely going to do it. I visited the Happiness Institute in Copenhagen a couple of years ago for coffee. They wrote a great, you know, the happiness book and all this different stuff. And so just great. So important and key. And you guys, Oh man, you inspire every day, and you change lives every day with your generosity and your time for people, including me coming on this podcast. One last question for you. What is, this is the LifeCast, so I ask all the guests, what is the life of Mickey like right now?
Oh, okay, great. Yeah. Well, so I'm living in Austin, Texas, on the lake. I'm looking at the lake right now. It's Lake Travis. Oh, and it's a beautiful, beautiful day. And let me see if I can show you the view. You can see that.
Yeah, yeah, everyone's going to have to tune into YouTube for this one. But yes, we're seeing the beautiful Lake Travis.
Yeah. Excellent. So that's the beautiful lake. And so I'm spending, like, you know, I've been you know, working on getting pregnant for a little while. So my body's finally like really working correctly. You know, I was under a lot of stress and pressure with my last company. And there's been a lot of like, you know, just healing and relaxation in nature has been really helpful for me. So I'm in that process of making baby number two, and then building Tushy from here. I'm have tons of meetings every day with my team. And I picked up painting. And so I'm starting to paint a lot, and I love this as a hobby, and I'm making paintings for all my friends, and it's been just a really wonderful creative outlet to continue, you know, for honing my creative skills, but from a place of like relaxation. So that's it. Yeah. And I, you know, I take long walks every day, you know, it's been really fun.
Must have been an adjustment going New York to Texas, but at least you're in a pretty artsy city. So
totally. Austin is like, yeah, totally artsy.
Awesome, Mickey. Thank you. So send everybody, where can send in, settle in everybody, because there's a list. Where can everybody find you online, and send everybody to every place, because you've got amazing products. I want everyone to go everywhere to see them.
Amazing. Okay. So if you want to find most all my projects, you just go to mickeyagarwal.com. But if you want to get the best Christmas present of all time, which we've, you know, we have like the most amount of sales during Q4 and during holiday season, because it's the best gift, a bidet for your toilet, bidet attachment. That's super affordable, $79. So check out hellotushy.com. If you want to check out my books, Disrupt Her, which is also for men and women, and Do Cool Shit, which is about how to go from step zero to step one in business and life. Disruptor is really about how to disrupt your mind and your life so you can live your most authentic and passionate, abundant life. You can get both those books on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all the major booksellers. And yeah, that's it.
Great. Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you for joining me, Mickey. Thanks for being a part of my journey on this path here. And also thanks for joining me in New York City at Madison Square Garden for one of my most iconic moments of my career.
We'll do it again.
I can't wait to do it again when we can all travel. That's been Mickey Agrawal. Her sister joined us earlier. This is the end of the LifeCast, and I couldn't have been happier to wrap it up with these two gems. Thank you so much. And
yay. See you 2021.
See you 2021.
Come on a journey like no other, where you will discover many roads that will lead you to a happier, healthier, and more stress-free life. And the beauty is, you don't need any vacation time for this adventure. The journey will come to you. Join Avery Rich on your very own journey into yoga. Along the way, she will demystify yoga poses and guide you into a yoga posture or short sequence, all in less than 15 minutes. You have nothing to lose but stress. The Journey into Yoga podcast. It's not for people who like yoga. It's for people who don't like yoga. Follow or subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or at AveryRich.com.
Hi, I'm Connie Thiessen, the host of Broadcast Dialogue, the podcast. We focus on Canada and the challenges facing Canadian radio and TV, as well as highlighting those moving the industry forward from podcasting and streaming to new broadcast tech. Check us out at BroadcastDialogue.com or your favorite podcast app.